In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
For those still thinking election theft couldn't possibly have happened, consider this. In 2016 and following, a small group of bad actors in the FBI attempted to frame Trump with Russia collusion, a plot actually hatched within the Hillary campaign. While the exact number of conspirators is unknown, there are at least one dozen directly involved. Comey, McCabe, Stroke, Lisa Page, etc. Note this does not include the CIA, DOJ, State Department, and other agencies. It's just those at the FBI who were willing to throw away their careers, risk jail, commit perjury, falsify, manufacture evidence, destroy evidence, etc., and were directly involved. We'll call them the Zealots. There are 35,000 people who work for the FBI. That means 12 Zealots equals 0.034%. A tiny number, right? Now, for the last 4 years, the media did everything it could to convince the American people Trump was an agent of Russia, Russia, Russia. And then there was the Mueller report with 10 angry Democrats. And when that failed, they tried impeachment. And Trump wanted to kill everyone with COVID because he wasn't doing enough. At the end of that four-year nonstop hate Trump parade, you're going to have an awful lot of people who hate Trump, loathe him. So let's assume there's an equal number of zealots in the FBI to zealots in the general population, a minimum of 0.034% out of 330 million people. That would mean that in the 2020 election, there were 113,143 zealots out there in the United States that would be willing to do anything, sacrifice their careers, risk jail, commit perjury, falsify manufacture evidence, destroy evidence, etc., just to destroy Donald Trump, steal the election, and get Biden in. Over 113,000 anti-Trump zealots still think there couldn't possibly be election theft by state officials, poll workers, and election volunteers? Funny how back in 2016, when Trump stole the election thanks to the Russians, we didn't have tens of thousands of affidavits of Russian interference. We didn't have actual evidence of voting machine tampering. We didn't have Russians dumping millions of mystery votes into machines in the middle of the night for Trump and only Trump. We didn't have Russians urging Republican governors and secretaries of state to remove voter integrity safeguards, allow mass mail-in balloting with no proof of residency required, or turn off signature matching on their machines. We didn't have truckloads of ballots appearing in the wee hours of the morning. And while we're at it, we didn't have Facebook and Twitter pegging every single post that has anything to do with the election with a warning that Trump is the projected winner and here's a page that tells you you must believe it. Why didn't they do that back then? But all you really need to know is that the media and Joe Biden are not asking for transparency. They are not demanding forensic analysts to look at the voting machines. Anyone who would want people to trust the vote would be calling for that. The fact they're silent and fighting it tells you everything you need to know. Today, we'll be talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi about all that, along with two books of his that are borderline prophetic. But first, I'd like to welcome now Congressman Burgess Owens. Before that, he was a frequent guest here on iSpy Radio. And before that, he was just some guy who won the Super Bowl, not to mention a whole lot of other accomplishments along the way. Burgess, it is great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it. And we were talking a minute ago. You're some of my friends that I said for so many different times, I would never, ever be a politician. So it shows that anybody's minds could be changed in time anyway.
Yes.
Just make that note.
Be careful what you don't wish for, that's for sure.
There we go.
So you were a real bright spot along the way in this crazy 2020 election. The last time we talked to you, you had just announced last year that you were going to be running for this. And so now you have officially won the seat in Utah's 4th Congressional. It was a squeaker with about a 1% margin win, a difference of 3,765 votes. We had faith that you'd win, but in the days leading up to the election, there were polls and pundits saying you'd lose by large margins. You had Evan McMullen, a spoiler independent presidential candidate who did get 22% of the vote there in 2016 in your district. He endorsed your opponent a week before the election. So talk to us about the days immediately leading up to Election Day. What was going through your mind?
Well, I tell you, I think obviously we don't know how it's going to work out. And there was times I was trying to figure out, you know, if in case it didn't work, you know, just how quickly would I get back into, you know, working with the nonprofit kids, with the kids I've been working with. But at the end of the day, the anchor was I truly have had faith in the American people and Utahans from through the entire process. You know, I happen to know our history. I happen to know that we, the people, have always done miraculous things when we came close to the edge, whether it be 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, whatever it is that we, 2020, we wake up. And once we do, it's amazing the things we do. So I always felt that my message was resonating. Because what my message basically is the values I grew up with, you know, the love of God, country, family, women, and authority. And it's something that's very, very strong here in Utah, which is kind of surprising that the Democratic Party had gotten this district last time around. So I always had that faith. And I'll say this. I am so proud of the American people. You everything we're going through right now. The idea of whether President Trump was cheated out of this election or not, what we did show very clearly is that the down ballot, we flipped 14 different districts, mm-hmm. and we lost not one seat against the other, you know, against the Democrats. So it shows that we, the people, collectively always do the right things at the right time, and we have the smallest margin since I think World War II. In terms of that house now. So they cannot go far left anymore. They have to be more reasonable, more common sense, more American-centric, or they will not be around 2 years from now. So I'm excited about this opportunity I have. And by the way, this freshman class I'm coming with is unbelievable. It's truly, I'm so proud to say I'm a part of this group, because they're folks who, many of them have never thought about being politicians before, but they all look at our president for his American loving leadership that he has, and we're going to be following that leadership and coming in and standing strong, being articulate, being focused on American way. And so I feel really, really good about what we have, and I'm just so proud again of Utahns, and more in a bigger way proud of our American people that we stepped to the plate when we really needed to.
Yeah, you mentioned the voter fraud, and this is something that we have been dealing with over the last 3 weeks here on iSpy Radio. It is pretty clear that there was a rampant voter fraud that was going on to the tune of hundreds of thousands of votes that were flipped. If Utah had allowed mass mail-in ballots, sent out tens of thousands of ballots to people who didn't even live in the state anymore, allowed tens of thousands of dead people to vote, and changed other voter integrity laws like what we've seen in these swing states, do you think you still would have won?
Oh, no question. No, I would not have. No doubt. No doubt we would not have. And I'll tell you, what we have to do is understand that this process, and again, just for those who don't know, I lived in the Philadelphia area for 23 years, and it was an open secret. There's no question that Philadelphia and Pittsburgh were known for cheating. I mean, we just understood it. Nothing that was never done about it, because we had such a strong Democratic state with the governor and the legislative party. But at the end of the day, what's happened now is because we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it potentially in Oregon. You know, we happen to have that the same Dominion software here in Utah, in the same place that we weren't sure where the votes were going to go. So the fact that we're not sure is a problem. Our American people should be absolutely sure the night of the vote, we might not be happy with the results. We might say, well, you know what, next time we'll do it better, we'll work harder. But we should be sure that the voice of the people are being counted. And for those of us who don't believe that, and I think the left doesn't quite understand this, the American people don't like to be cheated. we like fair, we like honest, we don't like cheats, we don't like the other one is a bait and switch. You know, we don't want to get a president in place where he's going to be switched out another 3 or 4 months by a vice president because they know how weak this guy is. So you put those together and it destroys the confidence we have in our American way.
Oh, absolutely.
We cannot elect anybody to do that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shocking to think that could happen here. All right, let's go and take a break. We'll talk more with recently elected Congressman Burgess Owens after this. We are proud and honored to be talking with former Super Bowl champion and now Congressman Burgess Owens, winner of Utah's 4th Congressional District. That is right smack dab in the middle of Utah, with the northern part of CD4 touching the southern parts of Salt Lake City. So, Burgess, I have to ask you, talk to us about that moment when you were finally, eventually declared the winner. What was that like, and what were your first thoughts on hearing it?
What a good question. And I now look back, and I'm so glad to where I was. I was actually getting a tour of the east wing of the White House. And this is that night. And for those who don't know, there's a difference. The White House, you know, where the president is the West Wing. The East Wing is where you see a lot of porcelain, a lot of pictures, a lot of history. And to be honest with you, I get kind of bored with that kind of stuff. So I remember asking the tour guide, well, listen, how long is this going to last? So he said about 45 minutes. I said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for the next 45 minutes? And then about 5 to 10 minutes after that, I got the call in the red room that we had won. And
oh, wow.
I was with my freshman team, so we all took pictures together. So I can say I'm so thankful that I was where I was at the White House instead of being in my room looking at TV. So it was a memorable moment, and I like to share that whenever I can. Now the tour guy said that they're going to add me to the story of the Red Room, but I kind of doubt that. But it did sound good, at least. that moment will be talked about, yeah.
So what's it been like in the weeks since you won? I mean, what have you been doing exactly?
It's been really a crazy time. And again, I've had a chance to go to D.C. a couple of times. We've had orientation. And that's been a lot. You find out a lot about, you know, really what we're there to do. And for those of us, for people like myself, this is the first time getting into politics. It's a whole lot. It's a lot to take in. The blessing I have is from the very beginning, I've had a really good team around me. So I've had help from Red Rock Strategies down in Arizona. They've been kind of our strategic team, and our team that we've put together through the primary and the general. We're very, very close. We have a great culture. And so that's been a real benefit for me getting settled, because we have my team that's really doing a lot of the heavy lifting that I don't have to do, which is the way it should work out. I should be able to focus on kind of being an executive, you know, looking at the policies, understanding the policies, articulating them, while we have someone else who's really managing everything that has to happen behind the scenes. So I'm very, very pleased that as I've gone through this last two weeks, to look at how well our infrastructure is in place. And I'll say this, one of the things that my team is taking after my personality. I don't know if you guys have ever read the book, The Five Love Languages. If you haven't, it's a great read. But it kind of gives you an idea of what things you kind of enjoy that shows your affection. Mine happens to be service. So I love to serve, and our team is taking that personality, and I love to hustle. So between those two, I really feel excited about the opportunity to hit the ground here in District 4 and really find out what the priorities are for them, and merge that with my priorities and really, really make a difference here.
Hmm. So the House is not settled yet. As you said, we won 14 seats on the Republican side, didn't lose any seats. I think there's still two or three that are outstanding. But going into the election, the Democrats and the media allies and their pollsters were all planning on the Democrats picking up seats, and some of them saying 20 or more. The reverse happened. They lost seats, as we said. In the days immediately after the election, people like AOC were publicly saying how they wanted to unleash vengeance on Trump supporters who work for the government. She did quiet down a little bit after it became clear that they were losing seats. Is that really the kind of person we want in office ruling over us? What's your reaction to her vision of governance?
Here's what the left doesn't get, and this is why I've been so positive about this process and how we're going to come out. The left does not understand the heart and soul of America.
No.
You know, we are a country based on Judeo-Christian values. We're the country that every single generation is better seeing each other from inside out versus outside in. We're the country that does not like being bullied. So unlike those who follow the Democratic Party, the Antifa or BLM.inc, they don't go through critical thinking skills, and they don't understand that American people always drift toward the light. So I was not surprised, honestly, that we did as well as we did. I think we can still have another couple seats. They're now finding a good friend of ours, Claudia Tenney, in New York. She was ahead by 12, just found in a drawer somewhere another 12 votes. They found 55 last week. So at the end of the day, we might even get closer. But here's the great thing about what we the people did. We're so close, the margins, that what they did, AOC voice, those who are driving hard to the left, are losing their power, because any, quote, moderate who wants to stay around next 2 years, if they truly want to stay in business, they're going to have to make sense. They're going to have to come to play with some common sense where people like them, and they cannot feel that they're you know, the police are going to be defunded, or they're going to open the borders again. They cannot go that way if they want to be around the next 2 years. So I think the American people have given ourselves a good ramp up to 2022, where you have more and more of these folks going to start making sense and putting together policies going to make people happy and prosperous versus miserable, as the hard left has always tried to do as a political strategy. So I feel real good about where we are at this point.
Well, you mentioned that about moderates in the Democrat Party with such a narrow margin of seats there in the House. It'll be like two, maybe three, if that.
Yeah.
So what about the possibility of some of those moderates flipping over to Republicans? We saw it during impeachment. We saw just recently Eric Swalwell has been exposed as getting played by a Chinese spy. There's all sorts of possibilities. Yeah. Do you think we could bring some of those sensible Democrats over?
I think because of leadership, there's really no such thing as a moderate Democrat nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think what you'll find are people who will say the right things and occasionally vote the right way because they have a long-term strategy. So you have to understand about the left. I mean, I'm talking about the deep left. No, I'm not talking about good people. There's a lot of good Democratic people. So I'm hoping those Democrats out there in independents really hear what I'm saying. You two are at risk. You two are collateral damage when it comes down to the hard left. You two, if you have a business, you want to go to church, you want to have your kids in school, will be told no. Because the hard left is a godless ideology. And with this radical left ideology, they could care less about who they're hurting in the process. They use misery as a political strategy. I've seen it for six decades in my community. And that's why we're waking up, by the way. We realize that these guys can't be trusted. So I don't think there are any true heartfelt moderates. You have people that will do their best to stay in office so they will every now and then pull the right ticket as long as Pelosi says it's okay. So I think at the end of the day, let's take a look at the Republican Party. Those who have the courage to say, I love God, country, family, women, and authority, that's on our conservative side. Yep. That's not on the Democrat side. So we have to keep that in mind and just go in that direction.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take a break. We'll wrap things up with Burgess Owen, who won a seat in Congress from Utah. Coming up, we'll be looking ahead to 2021 and where he sees the major battles. Burgess Owens is a former Super Bowl champ. He is the author of Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And also his latest book was Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Field of Socialism. And we are ecstatic that he is now also the congressman from Utah City 4. So your most recent book there about socialism, you know, we've talked about that in the past and going into the 2020 and looking ahead. I truly believe that socialism will be at the heart of what we're fighting. And socialism will continue to be what is trying to bring down America. Is that how you see the major battlefield ahead as well?
Oh, it's no question. That's our fight. And that's why President Trump was so effective. He called it for what it was. And we're realizing that that ideology has no loyalty to America. I mean, this is what has to be understood. And I always point this out when we talk. It's the environment I grew up in. A community which was so focused on those things I just mentioned, education and entrepreneurship, that we led our country in the growth of the middle class in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Growth of the middle class, men matriculated from college, men committed to marriage over 70%, and percentage of entrepreneurs over 40%. That 40% equated to over 50 to 60% of Black Americans in the 60s being part of the middle class, more than any other percentage of any other race. Now, that changed, that turned around because they went after us in those days the way they're going after our country today. It's called elitism. It's Black socialists. It's Black Marxists. It's those who say the right thing, smile in your face, but put together policies that make sure people stay miserable. You have a place in which the state of California, run by Democrats, 75% of Black boys in the state of California cannot pass standard reading and writing tests. 13 schools in Baltimore, run by Democrats, zero proficiency in math. And I can go through a litany because that's what they do. They make people miserable. So what's happening is that I can now, people like myself, I look forward to being a warning buoy and say, listen, my friends, This is a MO. This is what they do. They use political misery as a political strategy. They look, they talk like you're your friend, but they care about everything else. In this case here, we have more of these Democrats care about China and their personal profit. They care about themselves. So the great thing is we've had a president who's pulled back the curtain. And so we can have these kind of conversations now that we wouldn't have had 4 or 5 years ago. And we've had this COVID, this 2020, that now we can talk from Democrats, independents, and Republicans to say, you know what? Keep in mind, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. If you run a business, you still can just shut down. If you want to take your kids, have your kids go to school, they can. You cannot do that. So what we're saying is that the elitist class will use anyone that's not part of their class to use and abuse and discard so they get more power. And I think because we're going to give that message out, we're going to do very well. People just, Americans love hope, opportunity. We love light, and we're going to continue going that direction.
Absolutely. So two of the other big things that I think coming up that are going to be on the battlefield of 2021 is both big tech and China. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because in this last election, we saw where social media was really tamping down conservatives. They were banning some conservatives. I am still banned on Twitter, not allowed to be back on there because I dared to talk about Benford's Law and that people were being banned on Twitter for talking about Benford's Law. But big tech, I think they have got to be reined in. And So what are your thoughts on them?
Oh, no question. Now, big tech has the same we have to understand there's an elitist class out there, whether it be big tech, whether it be big stores, whether it be NFL, NBA, they love their profit. They love their little class, and they don't mind stepping all over Americans to get there. The thing, again, is President Trump showed us who they are, which is a good thing. And my prayer, absolutely, is that we can still some kind of way navigate with this thing what Texas just did recently, the fact that we have a constitution that really keeps our country moving in the right direction. And that's the wisdom of our Heavenly Father and the great founders, that even today we can look back on that piece of paper and that concept and say, this can save our country. I'm still hoping that it goes to a point where President Trump can take us the next 4 years. And believe me, that is the worst fear of the left, because they know how close they are to losing their power. And if he comes back in, you're talking about cleaning house. He will show our country what it is to get rid of hard leftists and those particular, by the way, who attack our kids. That's what's going on in that school system. They've been at our kids for so long.
Yes.
The most at risk is who they go after the fastest. So all those things we have to look at. And once we get a president in, whether it be now or 2 years or 4 years from now, get to keep the Senate. That's going to be important. So let me just say this. For those listening in, support Georgia. Support those two senators. We need them to be our wall for another 2 years until we get the House. And then we can keep the same moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. One of the big things that came out, I think, in the last couple of weeks was a study by the Media Research Center. And they found that 17% of Democrats would not have voted for Biden had they known all of the big stories that big tech was blocking from view, including stories about China and Hunter. So talking about China, we are seeing their fingers in more and more of American, not just politics, but culture and everything else. What are your thoughts on fighting back against China?
Well, first of all, I understand who China is, the Communist Party. It's a godless ideology. And people have to understand, when you take God out, what you have left is evil. Mm-hmm. Evil is strategic, they're long-term, and they don't care who they hurt. So yes, China is our enemy. It's not that we're just an adversary. That's our enemy. They want to destroy everything we're about because they hate freedom. And they'll use and abuse. And matter of fact, they get their glory about how well they can cheat on us. So unfortunately, we have people here in our country, I'm going to call them traitors. People who actually don't mind us being second place to a Communist Party because they share some of that ideology. They don't have a God either, so they don't see the right, and they do anything they can for personal ambition. So the great thing, again, is American people are not there, and we have too many good people who still want our country to be fair, equal, moving forward, and give a great future for our kids. And the more we understand about these guys, high-tech, NFL, NBA, the more we're going to turn against them. We just need to have some more space. So give us that space, but make sure we keep the Senate. We did a really good job on the House. Give us some more space, and possibly if we get President Trump back in with what the Texas is doing now, I tell you, our country will come back stronger than ever before, more educated and more prepared to go against our enemy, the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes, and I think that's so important. You have to understand that they are, in fact, our enemy. Burgess, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Time for us to go, but before we do, you'll be happy to know that on those long flights between Utah and Washington, D.C., the iSpy radio show is now on all the top podcasting platforms, so you can always stay in touch.
That is awesome. That's so good to hear. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, for sure.
Absolutely. It is such an honor to say Congressman Owens. We really wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All the best, guys.
I'm going to give you a website now that you'll want to write down. It's CorsiNation.com. That's CorsiNation.com. And I'd like to welcome the owner of that site, Dr. Jerome Corsi, back to the show. Dr. Corsi, it's great to talk to you again.
My great pleasure to be back with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So you've got two books out there right now that are especially timely that we'll get into in the next couple of segments. But this discussion, I think, is going to lead right into those. And just to let you know, we had talked with Kimberly Herman of Southeastern Legal Foundation last week, and she is currently tracking 25 categories of voter fraud to try to steal this election. But you follow this very closely. Is there any one example of voter fraud or election theft that just jumps out at you as especially brazen this time around?
Well, I mean, there's so many. I guess the activity that went on in the election counting center in Atlanta, Georgia, is particularly offensive. I mean, first of all, it started with the election night with the Democrats counting the votes and even wearing Biden gear and applauding when they were throwing out the GOP watchers who had a legal right to be in the room while the votes were being counted. And that screaming match and the language that was used and the anger, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, that was that's an obvious violation, probably, of election law. May even be criminal, but at any rate, and then you see the videos of the table with the black cloth on it. They throw everybody out of the same center in Atlanta because they've got a water break, but there's no water main break. And then the security cameras keep rolling, and you see them take suitcases and ballots out, and they're running these ballots through the machines and counting the votes when the center's supposed to be closed and no one's in there to watch them again from the GOP. I mean, these are just such obvious flagrant violations that it's shocking.
Yep. Well, you know, it's whether those videos that you mentioned or the massive insertion of votes, those giant spikes of votes for Biden and only Biden, In the middle of the night, it's just one thing after another. It really seems like this year the Democrats were determined to commit voter fraud and steal the election, no matter the cost, and they just didn't care if anyone noticed. Am I wrong in that?
No, in fact, it seemed to be so brazen that you know, these Democrats and their hatred of Trump have somehow think that everybody's going to agree with them. Somebody's going to be just thinking that, you know, oh, we can just get away with this. We can do little videos of ourselves and we can show those videos and we can, you know, broadcast them on YouTube. And here I am ripping up a Trump ballot. And, you know, this is I can't imagine anybody would do that. They just filmed themselves committing a felony, destroyed a ballot. And they're bragging about you, I'm sure, using their cell phones to talk about that they're closing down the votes and get those votes over here. We need a new style, you know, a new stack of mail-in votes and just run them through the machines. I mean, there's so much that they did that is out in the open that it's clear to me that they thought they could get away with the fraud, that no one was going to do anything to them. And the legal systems and the law enforcement systems were so corrupt that Democrats can get away with anything they do. Otherwise, I don't know why someone would be so foolish as to film themselves and allow all these illegal activities on the voting to be seen so clearly by the American public.
Well, certainly some of that, I think, goes back to this notion that we have the highest people in the land at the FBI and DOJ committing their own form of voter fraud, which is a coup to try to overturn the 2016 election. And nobody got punished for that. And I think a lot of this stems from that, that lack of prosecution. So speaking of that, why is it that judges seem especially unwilling to overturn elections when there is clearly fraud at work? I mean, they don't do that with bank theft, where if it's a really big theft, then they just refuse to prosecute. I mean, that's the job of a judge, to take on fraud and election theft and other such violations of law, no matter how big. I mean, why aren't they prosecuting these?
Well, I think we see the corruption, and the corruption is just apparent. And the Democrats have gotten to the point, they've gone Marxist, and the hard left of the party, not saying all Democrats are Marxists, but clearly the party's been captured by AOC, Bernie Sanders, this hard radical fringe. And these people are intolerant.
Yes.
And what they're showing you is that there's going to be no justice in America if they win, because they're never, this is why the Supreme Court case is so important. There never will be a fair election again. I mean, in the history of other countries going back to ancient Rome, once they openly stole elections, the next thing that happened was they didn't have any more elections because people had lost any hope that they meant anything, and the criminals and the mafias took over and the politicians did what they wanted, and the elections began to be held like they were in the Soviet Union, which is the government decided who won and who lost. And, you know, the communists could say it's not who votes, but who counts the votes. And we all know that that's what was shown in this election. It's a very, very frightening trend. And with the corruption of this deep state that hates the America, wants us to abandon the Constitution, wants us to abandon God, if Biden wins this way, with all this stealing of an election in the open, we don't have a country anymore of freedom. We will never have another free election.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court's got to understand that. What's not at stake here is not whether Trump wins or whether Biden wins. It's election integrity. If we can't have an election where people feel their votes are counted and counted equally, and that states can't pull off with this late night bringing in of truckloads of ballots for the one that the local politicians or the local party in control wants to win. If people see that's the way our elections are, we don't have a country anymore.
We'll be in
civil war.
Absolutely. I think people have to be as fiercely willing to defend America as those who are fiercely willing to destroy it. Let's go and take a break. Coming up, Dr. Corsi has two recent books out, The Plan to Remove Donald Trump from the Presidency and How the 2020 Election Ends in a Trump Win. You'll want to stay with us back after this. Corsi is a best-selling author. He's got 25 books since 2004, six of those on the New York Times bestseller list, and two of those ended up at number one. He is founder and CEO of CorsiNation.com, where you can find his books and video podcasts and a bunch of other great information. And, you know, we were talking there during the break. If we can't get this election sorted out, if we're not going to follow the rule of law, then I genuinely am concerned about the future of this country. I mean, we've had cheating around the edges before, but it's clear that one side right now is willing to do anything at any cost to seize power. Fake news media was out there trying to claim that Rush Limbaugh was calling for secession, which he wasn't. But what are your thoughts? I mean, should we be thinking a split if we can't fix this?
Well, I mean, first of all, Rush Limbaugh was not calling for secession. As I heard it, he was commenting on how divided the country is and how it's been we have not been this divided since the Civil War. And he's right on that. Now, we have lots of remedies to deal with this. And the first remedy is hopefully the Supreme Court will do its job and hear the Texas case. I've read the Texas case and studied it. Constitutional law is one of my areas of expertise as a political scientist, and it's a very, very strong case and a very clear case on the Constitution for President Trump. And I'm completely confident that President Trump will be reelected. I do not believe we will have a fraudulent election decide the next president of the United States. I don't think we've gotten to that point of loss of our patriotism, loss of our belief in God, loss of our belief in the Constitution. I know that the country has gone in a radically left direction, but it's still a very small minority, even though they've taken over the control of the Democratic Party. Not all Democrats are Marxist, and many Democrats voted for Donald Trump in this last election. But we are very divided, and if we are going to have Antifa in the streets, which we now see as a Marxist movement, it's not for racial justice. I'm for racial justice, but I'm not for spray painting and destroying cities. I think that's not going to advance. And many, many minorities came over to vote for Donald Trump.
Yes.
Latinos.
In record numbers.
Black. Record numbers. And I think America still has the values that are traditional. It's a small group of people who are trying to produce a coup d'etat or to take over the government by fraudulent means. And I'm praying and working to make sure that the Supreme Court knows what's at stake. The Texas case submitted by the state of Texas on the election to the Supreme Court clearly states that the real issue here is whether or not we're ever again going to have free elections. And that is the issue.
Hmm.
And so, you know, the next few hours, the next few days are going to be, this could go on, this chaos could go on right down until the election. I think if Donald Trump wins the Supreme Court case, which I expect he will, he's going to be president again. But I don't suspect that the hard left, which opposes him, is going to stop. They may have more violence in the streets. We may have, but you know, they're not going to stop if Biden's elected.
No,
these people will just be empowered. They said, well, we're only going to tear down Confederate statues, and then they tore down Lincoln statues, then they tore down all statues, and they basically want to destroy. And I don't think the only benefit I can think of the past year we've been through is that the Americans have seen with their own eyes the evil hatred that's behind the hard left, and can say, this is not the way we want to live. And so we are not going to bend the knee to these people. They promise everything will be okay if they're just in power. We know
sure.
different. If they're in power, they've only started what they intend to do to us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Hitler said those same things. You've got two books out right now that I think are very relevant with everything going on and borderline prophetic, quite frankly. I'd like to read this from the plan to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. Quote, many who listen to this ebook will dismiss it as fiction, but a few will recognize that every word written here is true. This may be one of the last books written under the U.S. Constitution and the freedoms given under the First Amendment, including both freedom of religion and freedom of speech. In future generations, this book may be suppressed if the forces of darkness succeed with their plan to destroy the United States as we have known it since 1776. I think that exactly sums up what we're faced with if Democrats are allowed to steal this election, push through with their radical left plan, and if people just give up their rights and freedoms. Did you have a crystal ball when you wrote that?
Well, I wrote that in June,
June
of this year, and I was seeing that all these things were connected. The Russian collusion, which is a lie, and the Ukrainian impeachment trial, which failed, and then the lockups over COVID and Antifa on the streets destroying St. John's Episcopal Church across from the White House and claiming that they were for racial justice. And I realized that this was going to be a continuing coup staged by a group of people who did not mind using violence and the techniques used in other communist and Marxist and Nazi rebellions, taking over governments, evil, taking over Venezuela and architecting. I knew it was going to end up in election fraud. And so I wanted to alert people that if this succeeded, you know, whether you like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump, Donald Trump is standing for the Constitution. He's standing for the United States of America. And that's in part why these people hate him. They hate God. They hate the Constitution. They want, and you know, we're supposed to be global citizens. They don't mind communist China coming in and buying everything they want, including the Biden family.
Right.
And, you know, this is, I think, a crisis where we need to repent that we've allowed the country to get here. We, you know, going back to the 1940s when we allowed the Supreme Court to take God out of the schools and God out of our lives. That, you know, the First Amendment was about not having an established religion. But it was not about that we had to be separate from God. From our founding fathers had God all in their hearts and in the Constitution.
Yes.
God was everywhere to our founding fathers.
And, absolutely.
And so, you know, this I think is a true spiritual warfare right now.
Yes,
and,
it is.
I do believe God will win. But again, it's a desperate battle, and God is allowing us to see what it looks like with living where God doesn't exist and you can't pray, can't have a constitution. You want to live under this kind of leftist, intolerant hatred. Our lives will never be better than they are today. And they're not very pleasant with the chaos in the streets and the disease locking everybody up inside their own homes as if we're prisoners in our homes.
Yes, exactly right. And religion is about your belief in the greater universe and the creator of the universe. And if they are willing to attack what you believe in your heart, just imagine what else they are happy to do. Let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, we'll wrap things up with Dr. Corsi and talk about his latest book, How the 2020 Election Ends and a Trump Wins. Stay with us. And welcome back in our final segment now on the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking with Dr. Corsi. He's a best-selling author with 25 books since 2004, two of which reached the number one New York Times bestseller. And he's also the founder and CEO of Corsi Nation. That's CORSINation.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. And he's got a new ebook out there. And Dr. Corsi, I'd like to turn to your most recent one, How the 2020 Election Ends in a Trump Win. You write this, in this ebook, I predict Trump will win re-election, but that is only because of what I always say. Donald Trump always looks like he is going to lose right until when he wins. And in the end, God always wins. You said that on November 30th. Do you still feel that same today?
Oh, absolutely. I'm completely confident. That book is called Trump Wins, too, is the short title of that ebook on CorsiNation.com. I felt that Trump will win. And he always does look like he's going to lose until just before he wins. I mean, look at the 2016 election, how shocked the mainstream media was when they said, wait a minute, he just won Pennsylvania. He just won this state. They couldn't believe it. They were so sure Hillary Clinton was going to be president. And Donald Trump's been that way in his whole career, back to the Commodore Hotel. And I've known Donald Trump for like maybe 40 years and not well. I've had a banking career and I was a VIP, virtually lived in the Plaza when he owned the Plaza Hotel in New York. And we've known each other. He's a remarkable man. And he has, I think, become more godly in his later life. I think the responsibilities of the presidency have made a deep impact on him. And he is fighting for the Constitution. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't need to do this. He had a very comfortable life at Mar-a-Lago and luxury and with his golf courses and all the money he could ever want. And he put himself through this misery of being hated and demeaned and his family and at risk. And yet he got COVID and 3 days later he was back. He looked better than ever and he was back campaigning. He's a remarkable human being. And I think no other person that I know of, including myself, could do what Donald Trump is doing and to do it with such great admiration of the American people. There's 70 million people who are not going to be happy at this election being stolen. And there's a lot more than 70 million. I assure you that the United States of America is not ready to have this kind of a theft be pulled off in plain sight. We're not going to be ready to have our next president elected by a fraudulent, obviously fraudulent election. And it just shows you how callous these people are, because they have to know that there will be no legitimacy to a Biden president if he pulls it off by this kind of theft and subterfuge. It's completely reprehensible what they're doing, and doubly reprehensible that the Democratic Party thinks they can get away with it and don't care that they know people committed these crimes. I think the system is so corrupt that no judge or law enforcement agency will ever do anything to them because they're Democrats.
Hmm. Well, I agree with you that I think President Trump has turned more towards a godly life in the last few years. I mean, certainly he has seen the hand of God in his own life. And that's really been my prayer going forward, is that, you know, God brings us through this, and Trump really turns even that much more to God. And just imagine what that would be like if he is now really leading the nation to really help restore so many of America's principles. Real quick here, in the 2 minutes or so that we've got with you, I had mentioned previously about Kim Herm of the Southeast Legal Foundation, who is tracking the 25 categories of an election theft. But their group is also, through FOIA filings with states, they are trying to gather evidence of coordination between state workers that would point to a conspiracy among the swing states. Is that an area where you are also looking?
Well, yes. I mean, I think all of these things are... I'm going to make a bigger point, and that is that the bigger point is that we are going to take time to have to investigate this election. This whole election has so many crimes in it. If we had honest law enforcement, it would take us years to root out all the crimes that have been committed. Take us years. And with the years that are there and that we are going to deal with this, we're hoping we'll have a justice system to do it. If the Democrats win, they'll shut down the justice system. They'll go after enemies. They'll go after political enemies. Anyone who believes in God or this country will be a suspect to them.
Yeah, they said that the very day after the election.
Yeah, and they're not going to wait. And they'll be having Antifa in your living room looking for Bibles, looking for guns to confiscate them. And they'll be looking at your children to take them. You're not raising your children correctly. You're telling your children about God. And they'll take your children away. I mean, this is what they do and have done. This is a replay of regimes that are dark and no one wants to live under. What they're talking about doing, taxing everybody, and they're going to go back with John Kerry and fund Iran. Iran will build a nuclear weapon. Are we going to have a nuclear war in 2 years? Possibly. I mean, these people have our destruction. They want to destroy.
Yes. That is.
And they want to stand in your face and scream at you if you don't agree with them.
Yep. That is the way of the left, for sure. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Dr. Corsi, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Always a great pleasure. And I remain confident Donald Trump will be reelected and that we will have grace of God to have another chance to see the evil and repair our ways to restore this nation to God and to the Constitution.
Yep, it has to be exposed first, for sure. So again, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That is all of our time for today. We certainly hope you're at least a little wiser for having been here. This truly is a war of good versus evil, and that's why you need faith to fight it and take action when you can. Silent no more. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.